Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements, and you, our faithful K100 fan, have been proven it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout out to Jay and huge congrats on your awesome progress. Shout out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100, that's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com, Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So, been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case that of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling it, like, we're the number one sellers of his products, and you would think they're... I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's right. Kind of like, yeah. So we're helping... We're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you think
they appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Hey, what's up, Josh?
What's up, boys?
Hey.
You've got a little bit of a Sean Penn after he met Chapo look going on, by the way.
So that wasn't good for anybody, that whole meeting. He pulled some shit.
No, it wasn't. Well, might have been good for the girl, Kate de Castillo. That might have been the only one that got over. So let me ask you right off the bat before long-winded Glenn gets on. First thing, bro, please explain to me what's happening with my Padres. Why aren't they better than they should be?
I think it's the same song and dance, right? Like, we think offense is what's successful in baseball, and it's not. It's never going to be. We talk about this year after year. You can have the best offensive team in the world, but it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I can be locked in on any day, and I'm going to nullify any offense, and you don't have to know my name. It's very similar to Disco's Atlanta Braves. Like, they're missing some pitching. They got a lot of young kids, but clearly they have a system in place in development that have taught these guys how to pitch. I don't see that in San Diego ever. I mean, they keep trading all these guys for offense. Soto has been a 220 hitter over the last 180 games or something. I mean, maybe he's really not what they thought he was going to be. Weathers is doing well, whatever.
Why was he so good? Why was he so devastating in Washington?
Was he?
Yes.
I mean, we really got to take a deep dive. And then who was protecting him? Bryce Harper, Trey Turner. I mean, he had a lot of protection as well, right? And he had those big guys in his ear.
Yeah, but he was doing it at like 21 years old, bro. People aren't putting up those numbers that young. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't like his.
Would you agree with that or no?
Well, I mean, our game is kind
of. Feel free to disagree if I'm wrong.
Well, it didn't used to be, but our game has kind of changed. I mean, look, we gave, Acuna and Bryce Harper and all these guys start coming up a lot younger, a lot earlier, and we started handing out this money a lot earlier to these kids.
Tatis.
All of them, right? Yeah, Tatis. And then look what happens. It's a lot of pressure for young kids who have never really learned anything. I don't know. San Diego just has not done what they should have done with their pitching staff. It's never been what it should have been, and that should be the backbone of their foundation. And it used to be. Before they went offensive friendly, they were always based on pitching, and that bullpen was it.
Right.
And the pitching's kind of
right.
Like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, the pitching had an identity where you had Trevor Hoffman. Well, even we have the best closer in baseball. Like at the back end of our pitching staff, so it's like our pitching doesn't suck. You know, it's just decent.
But even when Trevor was gone, our relief pitching was still great.
Yeah, I'm talking like 5 years ago. I'm talking like Heath Bell. I'm talking like recently. Yeah. Yeah, they were good. Again, that's what's so impressive. I mean, you look at Atlanta's offense, and Atlanta's 1-9 is loaded, but their pitching staff is doing the job. Their starters are taking them in, keeping them in games long enough, and we just don't see that with San Diego at all. And again, like, you have to make a move, right? So you give up it's Mackenzie Gore. You give him up to Washington because you want a Soto, which I understand that kind of move, but you have to have protection in the minor leagues of pitching that's going to come up and replace him. You can't sell out the farm in that level.
Well, that's what they did. If you remember, right, we had the top farm league for like 2 years in a row, and then they just fucking brought them all up or got rid of them for other players.
Yeah, they deplenish it quick. And again, I bring up Atlanta because they've been the foundation of it, and Washington because Washington did a great job. When Washington lost Bryce Harper, they replaced it with two catchers and Patrick Corbin, the battery, and they won a World Series, right? Bryce was gone, but they brought in a pitcher and two catchers. They won a World Series. Acuna missed almost the whole World Series year. He was in saying, "Oh my God, how are we going to win? We don't have Acuna." Well, that's pretty easy. Fill somebody else in. We still have the rest of the team.
Well, Eddie Rosario turned into Babe Ruth.
We can pick and choose, and I can put him in a place in the lineup to protect other people, or to be protected, or to get more fastballs. I can't do that with pitching. And so you have to build this stuff around pitching. You have to.
Let me ask you a question about Ronald Acuña specifically. Bro, you see his numbers this year. They're just – I mean, how old is he? What is he, like 23, I think? Dude, where do you see this guy's career going, like, in like the top 50 greatest players of all time? Where could he end up based on how good this kid is?
He's 25, by the way.
25.
Yeah. We're just talking about numbers?
Thank you.
I mean, the way he plays, like what you see in him, like what do you think the Ronald Acuña career arc is trending towards? When he's 30 years old, could he be the first $1 billion contract in Major League Baseball?
I'm confusing your question. Are you comparing it to like all time or just our just generation right now?
I'm just saying, do you think he compares to all time? He's on the trajectory like he's trending that direction?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, money means nothing as far as that's concerned, right? We just live in an era where you make more money and next generation is going to make more money. So that's irrelevant when it comes to money. He signed that $100 million contract early, but he's from Venezuela. Like, you got to lock yourself in. And I respect what he did. I know people kind of were bummed out on it, but it was the right play. He's had 175 hits once, Disco. He's only had three seasons where he hit over 100 hits, 127 and 124. Like, what has he done? He scored over 100 runs once. That was his second year. His numbers will never match up to the greatest of the game. He'll never have Hall of Fame numbers, and he's never going to do it in the leadoff spot. Because if you're in the leadoff spot, then you got somebody that you're always going to be compared to, and that's Ricky Henderson, right? So when we're talking about the best of, ever, he's never going to be anywhere near the conversation. He'll just be a forgotten guy. But with that said, I think he's one of the most talented dudes I've ever seen, and I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players in the game. But he's not put in a position where he's going to drive in or put up numbers that are consistent to what gets in the Hall of Fame. If he even gets to what Scott Rolen's numbers were, I'd be blown away. But now you talk about Andrew Jones, and why isn't Andrew Jones in the Hall of Fame? They play the same position, and Ronald Acuña will never reach Andrew Jones' numbers. So
you don't
think
so?
No, God, no.
I would disagree. We'll see. I just think the guys are unbelievable.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm not saying he doesn't have that talent to be that guy. I'm saying he's not in a position where he will get there. And again,
The guy's like the number one pick in fantasy baseball drafts every year.
Yeah, that's
like, he's like, bro, like that's kind of I'm like a guy a like great, that, and then like bro, you would a, think like you know that bro, guy's trying to baseball though. I'm aware of that. I mean, like, you know, you think that the number one fantasy draft every year is definitely like a Hall of Fame caliber player.
Did you say
2023? Right?
Did you say, Josh, that he's never had 1 year with 200 hits?
Well, it hurt.
Yeah, 175 was the most, and then 127 and 124 was the next highest. I mean, again, it's the same thing. He's only had one season with 100 RBIs, but he's a leadoff guy, so that's expected. But again, he's never walked more than 75 times in a season, and his next lowest was 50 something. So he doesn't he's like, when you see him, he stands out. But like, outside of what he's hitting this year, 343 right now, like, there's nothing else that stands out on him.
Well, that's in the past. He's only 25. Let me ask you this.
That's true.
Last year, but by the
Very
way,
well, get to those 30s. Well,
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling, all right? So make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you got to get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off at the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 haircutting lengths. That's 20 lengths. That's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Okay, so no more of that with the Beard Hedger. It comes a titanium coated T blades that are tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art in a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging all the time. And Nexikit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Starts with a beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, that's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's got like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off from free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off from free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal. At no don't Josh, that's your Twitter. Okay, you always have, like, you don't tweet a lot that much anymore, but you always have interesting. You were on top of before anybody. I wasn't seeing anybody talk about the Baltimore Orioles last year. You were the first guy that was saying, "Hey, don't sleep on these guys. This pitching is like they were trending towards becoming a really good baseball team, right?" You were the. I didn't hear anybody like on ESPN. Nobody was talking about this, but you were the first guy. Who this year are you like? People are sleeping on, and you kind of see like, okay, this team is trending. Watch out for these guys.
No one. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, it's like who, right? I mean, Miami doesn't do anything for us. There's nobody in the.
Can I ask you a quick question? What happened to Alcantara? He went from unbeatable to this year. He's been brutal.
Yeah. I wondered the same thing. Like he was what, 8 innings, 9 innings, every game. It was just unbelievable. Right. Him every day. We've been on first five and
two hitters and stuff like that. So great, right? Yeah.
I didn't see if he got a contract after last year. That's the one question I've had, is if he's got a contract or if it's just
are you alluding Josh, and I would agree with you 100%. I think this goal too is that when you get these guys that have not had anything and they're waiting for the big paycheck and they're taking care of their family and their posse and they're getting their fucking rides and they're fucking flossing and they're getting, you know, and they're getting paid and they're going out with their homies and they're, you know, and they're not as hungry anymore. They're not as dedicated anymore, because I was watching this thing, this interview, this old interview with Jim Brown, rest in peace, where he was saying, How would you compare the athletes from today and before? And he goes, well, you can't tell athletes anything today because they have so much money. They don't care about social issues. We did, you know, me, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, we were out there, bro. And a lot of them were risking our jobs, our career, and our lives. Today, they don't give a fuck because they're making all this money. Is that basically it? Because I know my cousin worked with Yosiel Puig. Mm-hmm. And he said that that's what happened to him. He came from Cuba, and so did the brothers that came from Cuba, the two pitchers.
Good Puke story. Puke was in with his crew, which is kind of like his like manager, like him. He came into Omnia one night with a couple guys. We had a table with a bunch of girls. We said, "Hey, want to come over here and sit with us?" Well, so Puke came to sit with us, spent the rest of the night with us. We had hot girls with us, you know. So,
right.
Oh, you know what? Like, then Troy was with us, Josh. Troy went over, hey, come over here with us. Perfect,
and,
right? You know?
And Hugh looks like a beast, right? In person?
Yeah. Yeah, he was about that life, though, right? There's some people that are about that life. He was about that flash, that lifestyle. That's why it ended real quick for him. You can't, over 162 games, you can't run that hard off the field as you do on the field. Maybe a starting pitcher, because I pitch once every 5 days, but like those dudes, you can't. And he was about that life.
How great was he when he first broke in?
He was talented, right? Like, everybody's talented.
He had like the best first month, you know what I mean? Like ever.
Let me ask you a personal question, Josh. Did you, when you got your first big contract, mm-hmm. Did that affect your work ethic already? Did that change your work ethic, or did you just continue just like on the same path? And like, you know, did you work harder? Did you, you know, how did it affect you?
It's a great question. I'm going to be honest, Disco, I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that. My work ethic, as far as my routine, as far as what I did in the gym, as far as my running, my cuff weights, my core, as far as taking care of my body, like that never changed. I was religious about that because I was never going to let an injury be the reason I didn't play. So I was never going to let laziness factor into the reason why I couldn't play a baseball game. Like, you worked your whole life to get to that level. Like, sitting on the DL ain't going to fucking happen. I promise you that. But the mental side, it does change a little bit. Like, you do get a little bit relaxed. I know going into that season, 2005 was my best year, and then I got that two-year contract. Two nights before I pitched, I was in bed. I remember being in New York one time with my ex-wife and her friend, and we were on the bus, and they wanted to go out. And I was pitching 2 days later, and I was like, nope. And they were trying to bait me to go out, and I was like, nope. So I just took a sleeping pill on the bus, and it hit me right as I got to the hotel, so I wouldn't even be tempted to go out. Like, I was so disciplined with routine when it came to that stuff. Now, fast forward to the next year, you never go out the day before you pitch, but maybe I go out every now and again the night before. Or maybe you start going out a little more than you did, or maybe
spending your money a little bit.
Yeah, you start.
Right? You have more money. You kind of like want to experience the thrill of having more, and you maybe spend more and do more things, right?
There's levels to life. There's levels of sports. You guys have seen it in your industry. You guys have been through it in your industry. Like, we all get to a point where we're trying to get there. We get a little stability. We get some money. We finally spending it. We get a little hot-headed. And then we last long enough to where it's about the sport again. And it's hard to get to that point. I remember when I got sent down on that contract in my second year. So 07, I got sent down. I sucked. I was awful. And I remember going to AAA, and I had this beard a little bit longer than this. And my manager asked me to shave it because it's AAA. We had different rules, but I was on the roster making big league money. And I said, no. And I was a dick about it. And it's not even my nature, but I was so pissed, not even realizing that I earned that demotion, that I deserved to be there. My arrogance and like, what I remember saying basically, like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to make me shave it? What are they going to do? Release me? Like, what are you going to do? And I regret it so much now, but that's the little stuff that kind of creeped in during that time where you just thought you were above people and unrealistic, or didn't really see an end because it was my pinnacle of making money and stuff. So, I mean, there's just levels to it. And, you know, luckily you learn from it afterwards, but those are the little things that kind of creep in at times. And not everybody's guilty of it, but a lot of us are.
Well, that's the mid 2000s. What's the attitude like today in 2023 with some of these guys?
I don't know, because my contract was 2 years, 5.2. That contract now is 2 years, 40. It's the same contract.
Yeah, but when you have guys, because
that's crazy. Were you working,
right? Weren't you working for a AAA club, or you still are?
The Mets, right?
No, I wasn't. No, I mean, I was, but no, I'm not anymore. Yeah.
Okay, but when was the last year you were there?
21. 2020.
So that's recent. So when you would have a major leaguer come down to AAA, what was usually their attitude? Was it, I'm above everybody? Or was it like, you know, or were they cool?
It's like 50-50. It's like 50-50. Some of them are, I'm on a rehab assignment and I just have something to do. So they take care of the team and they get it in and they can't wait to get back. And then some of them are a little bitter. They even have to do it. So it's kind of like 50-50 on that. I mean, I remember watching Chris Sale. He got documented pretty well on his comeback to the big leagues, and he was firing water coolers in the AAA dugout, throwing shit because he got rocked. And I was like, wow, bro, like, you couldn't be more disrespectful to those kids and those fans and the minor league guys. You're throwing a water cooler because you walked five guys. Like, that's on you. Like, what did they do wrong? Everybody's different. Yeah.
But he's a very intense character. I saw him the other day pitching against the Padres. He was bringing it, bro.
He's finally coming back a little bit to the old Chris Sale. We kind of knew his name, but there was like, what, a 3 or 4 year span, maybe a 3 year span where he sucked.
I've suffered through all of it. I'm a Red Sox fan. What's up with my Red Sox? What can you tell me about them?
They're above 500.
Yeah, that's not bad. Good.
Well, so like, 26 and 21, right? They're not bad.
Well, it's that Tampa so fucking hot.
But speaking of contracts and people who respect it, look at Devers. Like, there's very few guys like that, like the Max Scherzers of the world or the Justin Verlanders who got these massive contracts and have acted like they never got paid. And Devers is one of them. He's a true leader to that team, and those guys kind of surround him. And you got the Tristan Casases of the world who have worked their ass off to get to the big leagues, all those first round picks, and respect everything about it. And so those guys embrace that. So it creates a more of a winning environment, right? They still need to.
Bro, you know what I like? I'm sorry. Tell me if you like this. I'm a real big fan of, like, you know how they have the they talk to now the players in the outfield during the game?
Sunday Night Baseball?
Yeah. So they were talking to Tristan Casas, and he came out so likable. I didn't even know anything about him. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And now I'm rooting for him because he was so likable when he was on the mic. You know what I'm saying?
He was so 2019, I was in low A ball coaching with the Mets. And so the Mets have a kid in the big leagues now, Mark Vientos. He's a third baseman. Mark and Tristan were on the same high school team, got drafted the same year. Tristan was a first round pick. I think Mark was a second round pick. But I remember, like, Casas is a great kid. He really is a great kid. But like all of us, he does his little things. And I remember in A ball, like, he took forever to get in the box. And he had his whole routine. We'd step out, do his batting glove, fix his helmet, and I would literally stand on the top step and do the whole thing at the same time as him, because to me it was hilarious, like watching him have to go through his routine in order to get locked in. And so I would teach the kids about game planning and how to pitch to people, right? So if we look at Tristan Casas as this big star, this power hitter or whatever, then we might give him a little credit. But as he's doing this shit, I was teaching them how to rush him through his little routine of all his glove flipping shit. And it would piss him off. And so then it would just take him right out of his at bat. And I think against us, he struggled. I don't know if he ever got a hit off us, because we would just make a mockery of his routine. So it's kind of cool. Like, you bring up, we talk about Casas, because I love the kid, but we also learned a lot about how to get in the head of somebody and use it to our advantage to get people out.
I wonder if he's Cuban, because he's from the Miami area.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, both of them boys from Miami. Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. What do you think of like, what are your thoughts on the pitch clock and everything and what it's done for the game?
Well, personally, I love it. We had something called the 12-second rule with the Baltimore Orioles when I was in the minor leagues. Sid Thrift invented it, and we didn't know what it was, man. We just were told you got to work fast. And so basically, if we threw a pitch, like, down and away, let's say you fouled it off, swung and missed, or took it, something successful for me. If I was able to do the same thing, throw the same pitch within 12 seconds, the chances of getting the same result was like 95%. So they just taught us to work fast in the minor leagues, and we didn't know why. I mean, we didn't really compute that until later. It's really good for pitching. It's really good. You get hitters that they want to take their time, and if I give them too long, they're gonna process what I just did, what they did, the feel of what they did, what I did last time, what my tendencies. They have all that time in 20 or 30 seconds. When I start working these guys 15, 12, 10 seconds, they just have to get in there. A hitter's tendency when rushed is to swing. It's not to take. And so I use that against me. So I think if these guys really understood this, and we see a lot of really low ERA, so the good pitchers are using this to their advantage, and the bad pitchers are just throwers, so they're irrelevant anyways. But it's very, very easy, in my opinion, for us to use that to our advantage to get hitters to do what we want them to do.
You know what's very revealing to me, and I wanted to see your thoughts on this? The Japanese players, because we saw in the World Baseball Classic, Japan won again, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you see all these guys from Otani, the fucking Senga. What type of pitch is that he's throwing, that ghost ball? What is that?
I think that's just media making shit up. There's, I mean, my
no,
hand,
of course. But what is it? That's a great pitch.
Now, every one of them.
Cutter.
Every one of them throw a version of a splitter. What do they get around?
Okay.
Split a little bit or get this. And then, yes, there also is a cutter that they try to say, like, here in the States, we're such fucking followers, man. And you see on TV now, what is the new thing they put on TV every day? Sweeper. It was a sweeper. What the hell is a sweeper? It just means I've got around my slider. If you saw it earlier, and it's just hanging. And it's like, now it's like this new thing. Everybody's like, hey, Josh, come teach me a sweeper. And I was like, go somewhere else. It's not a real pitch. Like,
right.
It's just a made up thing. Right. And so we're always behind the eight ball. These guys are just tightening up their pitches a little later. Like, I want you to think this is straight. And then the last second it turns as you swing. And so it's all it is. It's a variation of something very late that gets you to see one thing, and it really becomes another. These guys.
Let me see this. That's a great pitch, by the way.
Did you see the video of David Cohn where he was explaining the Max Scherzer with the rosin and the spit, like, you know, how it creates the stickiness? Did you see that? Where Cohn was explaining what Scherzer was doing, what these guys are doing with the substances.
Disco, I watched like four innings of Sunday Night Baseball. Was it yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever day it was?
Right.
I turned off. I couldn't, like, I love David Cohen, and I thought, God, this guy doesn't know anything about what he's talking about. It's so hard to listen. I turned it off, man, and I like him.
Right.
He's got a great name, right? He's a good
on MLB TV and stuff and all that. Who are the most, your most respected guys that you like if they're on and you're like, you want to hear these guys talk?
It's more local team guys that travel with the teams. I think they do a much better job. I think these guys, like Eduardo Perez, has always been good. Harold Reynolds, I thought, has always been good. But a lot of these guys are just trying to, either Fed stuff or they're trying to like say the right things instead of just be genuine. And I think a lot of these broadcasters on ESPN are like that. Listen, Max Scherzer, I didn't know what he was doing during that interview. First off, rosin doesn't do anything. It sucks, right? And so if I add a lot of sweat to rosin, it's going to be sticky for a little bit. I didn't know what Scherzer was doing. I thought he put his foot in his own mouth. Major League Baseball might have baited him a little bit. But the one thing I do know more than anything, and everybody who plays baseball pitches knows this, if I take alcohol, rubbing alcohol, and I put it on my pants and I hit the rosin with it, it's about as sticky as it's going to get. So almost all of us cheated when it comes to the home uniforms, white pants. I'll throw rubbing alcohol here and I'll just hit it with the rosin so you can't see it. And then I'll put it in the area that I touch the most, right? And you can't see it. And so I always have this sticky. Rubbing alcohol and rosin is super sticky. Sweat and rosin, irrelevant. No sweat and rosin, absolutely zero.
So okay, question. But some you guys, some of these guys are definitely using tar or something because that black stain we're seeing on uniforms and on the pants, you know.
Yeah, that's what. I mean, it's a lot, right? So I don't understand why Max Scherzer, first off, goes, oh, Major League Baseball put that clean my hand with rubbing alcohol, and then I immediately touched the rosin because they wanted me to, and then it was sticky. No shit, dude. So, like, why would you even do that? Like, there was some shit even going on. So for him to serve his 10-game suspension, I'm starting to think that maybe he was guilty of something because we all know that, like, as soon as Major League Baseball says that to me, I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not doing that. That's sticky as heck. I'm not doing that. So I don't know what really happened there. But, yeah, that actually does work pretty well. Anytime, like what I would do is, like, sometimes when – I would just hold somebody's bat next to me in the dugout. So, like, you probably get me on TV, but who cares? And I would just hold somebody's bat. And it would give me enough sticky on my hand to where it would last maybe through three or four of my warm-up pitches. And then that's it. And it doesn't last very long. So, like, when I'm putting that tar on myself, like, it's going to work or putting it on my glove. But we get checked. But then when you go look at the way they're checking us, they only check very certain areas. Here you go. So if I put it here and you're only checking my hand and my glove, you're not going to see it. So I had a first baseman with the Orioles, and I had a right fielder with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and both of them kept it in their gloves. And so when a ball was hit the right field, he would just put it on the ball for us and give it back to us. And then my first baseman, we would just pick over for no reason, just so he would do the same thing. So it wouldn't be on me. It would just be on the ball where I wanted it. And so I would have that to my advantage. So there's always a get around this shit. These guys are very smart.
Let me ask you a question. Is the spitball still a thing?
No. My double A pitching coach tried to get, because they used to throw in the 70s and 60s, and he tried to get me to throw that double A, but I was so nervous to even try it. And then you got to put like some Vaseline or some shit on you.
Petroleum jelly. Yeah.
It's not spit. It's literally some sort of like that. So where it slips out of your hand. No, that thing died in the 80s probably.